The scripture today comes from Psalms 127, verse 1, 2, 3. That's the book of Psalms 127, verse 1 through 3. I'll be reading from the King James Version. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh it but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Brother Skipper.
Once again, God has been good to us. He has watched over us on last night and allowed us to rise out of our beds, to come to the house of worship, to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guests. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service this morning. We encourage you to just stick around at the end of the service this morning, that we can be able to get to know you just a little better. I just want to just reiterate a few things that was made in our announcements. One of the things is the evangelistic workshop. And what that is gearing up for 2021. The Crusade for Christ will be coming to Detroit in 2021. And so they'll be having a training workshop. I think Brother Gilbert had said May, but it's going to be March, this coming Friday at 6 to 9 p.m. at the Oakland Church of Christ in Southfield. So if you can get away, that'll be a good training that can help us not only dealing with the crusade, but it's a training that can help us here to know how to go around and evangelize, even in our community as well. But also, the teacher's workshop is coming rapidly upon us. And if you cannot make it on the 21st, please see Brother Bob or myself, so we can be able to have a makeup. Regardless, either way, if you don't show up that Saturday, we already know what teachers won't be there and who will be there. And we still gonna get you. Because again, this is mandatory. Because we all want to be on the same page as teachers, but not only the same page as teachers, but as a congregation. We need to be unified. We need to be one. And so we just encourage you to put that on your calendar. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. O wise eternal Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day and for your blessings. Thank you once again for this opportunity that you have given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Heavenly Father, we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word, what it has to say to us in our situations. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Lord, give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. And guide me in your word that the things that I say, Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No family is immune to the storms of life. They are simply a fact of life. Every family here today, no doubt, is facing some kind of storm. Maybe you have just got out of a storm. You're facing one now. But then your storms may be coming. Some of you are in no doubt financial distress, and there seems to be no way out. Some of your marriages, no doubt, are taking a beating from the hurricanes of life, and you wonder, how much longer can you hold out? There may be family shame, lying, and deception, jealousy, and mistrust. It may be that you are a burden with having to take care of a family that cannot take care of themselves. And to say that our homes need some improvement from the storms and from the hurricanes that will eventually come our way is to say that everything is not what it should be or not what it could be. And so as we look at this lesson this morning in Psalms 127, it lets us know this morning that if you're going to make it, if you're going to survive, if you're going to continue and endure, if you're going to have unity, there is an essential element that must be present in your family and in your life. The text says very clearly, except the Lord. You see, which is to suggest that without the Lord, it's useless, it's pointless to the extent that it is a waste of time or not worth nothing at all. So if you ever want to experience the abundant life, the unspeakable joy, the peace that passeth all understanding, then you got to grab hold of three words in the text that will change your life, and that is accept the Lord. And so when we look at this text, accept the Lord what? The text goes on to say, accept the Lord, build the house. It's not talking about constructing a shelter, but it's talking about establishing a family. David is saying, in effect, God can help you to build your family. We have to understand this morning that the Lord is the master builder. And one thing about a builder is that if you're going to have anything worthwhile, if you're going to have anything valuable, if you're going to have anything meaningful, you don't ever bring him in at the end. And you need to understand that this morning. The reason why some of us have lopsided lives, the reason that some of us have crooked houses, is because we brought the builder in at the end. We tried to construct it. We tried to put it together ourselves. We tried to do it on our own. And we didn't know a 2x4 from a 6x4. And we tried to build our own house. And then we asked the Lord to bless our mess. No, you got to bring him in at the beginning. He wants to be God. He wants to be building in your life at ground zero. You have to allow him to establish. He has to be the one to set it up. He has to be the one who lays the foundation. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 said, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And church, if you allow God to be the builder of your house, he laid the foundation, and this one won't crack under you. The earth may shift, But the foundation won't crack. It's built to last for eternity. When you look at the word build, the word build is not just something that is a once and for all finished act, but it's a continuous process. And I'm here to tell some of us this morning that a lot of us play tag with God. We come in, we get the plans and the blueprints, and then we go out and try to subcontract it ourselves. And then we wonder why it doesn't work. But God wants to be in it from the beginning to the end. That's why Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 6, be confident of this one thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Unless God blesses our efforts, unless he is a part of what we are doing, our labor is worthless. All of life is meaningless if we leave God out of the picture. So if you want a home that will last and survive, then you better turn it over to the master home builder. And I'm talking about God himself. God invented the family. He knows what will work. He knows what won't work. He can help fix whatever problem your family will encounter. But then look at the text again. The text goes on to say, except the Lord build a house, they labor. It does not say that we should not labor. It just says, without the Lord, your labor is in vain. God will give you what you need, but you got to take responsibility for yourself. What I'm suggesting to you is that if you want a strong family, you got to work at it. God will give you what it takes, but you have to work at it. And if I can be honest with us this morning, I have discovered that so many work at everything else but their families. Homes have become an airport and a business where we fly in. We see what's going on, and then we fly right back out. It takes work. It takes time. I tell couples who have problems in the first year or so, I tell them it just takes time. It takes some work, because what we're living in today is that we are living in a microwave society. We want it right now. We are accustomed to instant tea and instant coffee and instant rice and instant grits, and even so much now that we have instant marriages. But I'm here to tell you, it takes work. It takes time to raise a family. It takes work to raise a family. And it's not easy being a parent. It takes an effort to rear a child. You have to go through some stressful moments to rear a child. The television can't rear your children. And I understand, yes, it can be necessary, but it can't rear your children. Social media can't rear your children. The daycare can't rear your children. The schoolhouse can't rear your children. The church can't even rear your children. You must rear your children at home. You have a responsibility to train up a child in the way that he should go. But when he gets old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Yes, it takes effort. An effort to live with somebody else beside yourself. Because to be honest, we have a problem sometimes living with ourselves. Anybody have ever fallen out with yourself? Think about it. Have you ever fallen out with yourself? Have you ever said, why did you do that? Oh, yeah. Some of y'all have. You just don't want to admit it. And so if you said that, what do you think you would have to do living with somebody else if you can't even live with your own self? If God is not involved in the blueprints of your family, in the plans of your home, you will leave with a constant, remaining, never-ending emptiness. And that's what the text says. When you look right there in the text, in verse 1 he says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. When you look at the word labor, the word labor is a Hebrew word which means empty. It means empty. And I'm here to tell us this morning that we got a lot of empty houses. Yes, the lights are on, but it's empty. It's well furnished, but it's empty. The air and the heat is working, but it's empty. The stove is working. The meals are being prepared, but it's empty. The family room is functional, but it's empty. There are people inside, but it's empty. And if you have a home and God is not the center of what's happening, you don't have anything but an empty house. You can even have a Bible and it still be empty. You can dress to a T, but empty. Do you realize that even you can be big in church, but still empty at home? You realize you can be important in the community and empty at home. And then we wonder this morning why our children are running to games. Why our children are running to social media, because there is emptiness in the house. Sometimes we don't like it. But do you know why children go to games? Because they are seeking a place to belong. And they can't find it at home. Because you can't belong to what's empty. So they seek something that Satan has set up as a cheap imitation for a family. And they join something where they can feel they can belong. Anybody know that emptiness will make you do some strange things? Anybody know that it'll make you make some wrong and costly decisions? Finding yourself with people you shouldn't even be with. Finding yourself in places where you should not be. Finding yourself doing some things that you should not be doing. That is emptiness. But when God is involved in your home, in your family, in your life. You don't have to worry about trying to watch out for yourself, because the text goes on and says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. Well, I got a question on this. And the question is, what does a watchman doing waking up? See, some of y'all have, y'all had that same question, but y'all didn't ask it. Watch this. If the watchman is supposed to be watching, why is he waking up? He is supposed to already be up. Well, it just suggests to me that no matter how intent you are in watching, you can't keep your eyes open long enough. But I know somebody. The psalmist says in Psalm 121 and verse 1 that he never slumbers nor sleep. I know somebody who's got his eyes always open. No wonder the songwriter declared, I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eyes is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me. Anybody in here ever tried to stay up and keep a watch, but you find yourself dozing on off to sleep? I'm not just talking about physically, but you can be asleep. You can be physically alert, live, alert, but asleep with some stuff that your natural eyes can't see in your house. Your child can be strung out on drugs and you can't see it. God has his eyes on your family. You need somebody with some good vision. You see, every now and then, I go to the eye doctor. And they can never get my eyes perfect. My vision is dim because you're looking blurry out there now. My vision gets dim as day by day goes by. But I know somebody that even in the darkest night, he can see a black ant on a black rock, because it doesn't make any difference to him. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 12 that the night is as day to him. Have you ever had things get dark in your life? Your family where you can't see which way you're going? Then you ought to be celebrating today that you got somebody who has his eyes on your family, that he knows what's happening. That's why God can protect you from dangers unseen. Just because you can't see it, it doesn't mean he can't see it. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in your family. He can protect you from things unseen. But then, as I began to come to a conclusion, I see one more word. That is the word ease. Oh, you don't see it there, but it's there. Look at Psalms 127 and verse number 2. it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth, here it is, his beloved sleep. Sleep means ease. He'll give you ease. He'll give you peace. When God is involved in your family, he allows you to be at ease. He doesn't necessarily make it easy, but he will give you ease. You don't have to have everything going your way to be at ease. All you have to have is something inside of you to be at ease. That's why he says in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and I give you rest. I give you ease. I give you peace. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burdens are light. See, a whole lot of people, no doubt this morning, you are tossing, you've been turning, you're full of depression, and you're stressed out. But if you let God be in charge, you can be at ease. That boy may not change, but God will give you peace. That girl may not change, but God will give you peace. That husband may not act right, but God will give you peace. That wife may not act right, but God will give you peace. They'll wonder why you're snoring with all the mess that's surrounding you. And you can tell them because God has given me some peace. He'll give you peace that'll pass all understanding. Philippians 4 and verse 7. You may ask me this morning, why I still got peace? I don't worry about things. I don't worry about how people act. I don't even worry about what they say. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock, I stand and I will continue to stand because all of the ground is sinking sand. I have peace that the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This peace that I have, God has given it to me, and you can't take it away from me. He's given me a peace that'll pass on, even when it don't make sense. He's given me that peace. And God can give you the peace that you need this morning for your family, for yourself. But you got to turn it over to him. You got to trust him this morning. You need to let God be involved in your family and in your life. because he'll make your house a home. And he'll give you peace in times of storms, times of things that you're going through. God can give you what you need, but you got to be willing to trust him. You got to be willing to follow his blueprint. And his blueprint is found in the word of God. If you're here this morning, not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, God has a blueprint for us to follow. You got to be willing to follow that blueprint. What is that blueprint? God says you got to hear my son. Matthew 17 and verse 5, God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. You got to be willing to believe. Believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You got to be willing to repent of your sins. Turn from those things that are wrong to those things that are right. You got to be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God. Be willing to go in that watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. When you come up out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Then you have to continue to follow that blueprint, living the life that he wants you to live, realizing that one day, when it's all said and done, that if you've been found faithful, you can hear him say, well done. That good and faithful servant, thou have been faithful over a few things. Come and I make you ruler over many. If you're here this morning, you are a Christian. Maybe you've been going through some struggles. Maybe you've been going through some trying times. Maybe you've been trying to handle it on your own. Maybe you've tried to take the blueprint and try to do it yourself. It won't work. Now is the time to say, Lord, I've strayed away. I'm coming back home. I want to make it right. Because, Lord, I want to go home to be with you forever and ever. Whatever the case may be, come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Won't you come?
Would you live for Jesus and be always good and good? Would you walk with him with an arrow? Thank you. serve.